Quilting Company podcast, where quilters who love all aspects of the craft, from traditional and contemporary to art and modern, share their passion and perspectives on all things quilty. I'm Tracy Mooney.
I'm Lori Baker.
And I'm Vivica Denegri.
Today on the podcast, our conversation is all about embellishments. The title is Embellish It, just because I needed to throw in an exclamation point. First up, we will be talking about what is currently trending in art quilting as far as embellishments. And that's why Vivica's with us, which we're so excited about. After that, we have Husqvarna Viking event specialist and educator Karen Charles, who is an amazing quilter. And she'll be telling us all about how she uses embellishments on all of her quilting and sewing projects and in so many different ways. Just stay tuned. You're going to love it. And then in our fine finishes segment, we are going to be getting frank about all of our mistakes. Are you ready, ladies?
I'm ready.
So we're going to talk about how we cover up our oopsies. We are so excited to have Vivica in the studio with us today via Skype, of course, but still,
we get to
I'm
see her.
I'm excited to be here, too.
It is so nice. And, you know, it's fun to we work with Vivica all the time and talk to you on the phone several times a week and have meetings with you and all of that, even though you're halfway across the country. And so Lori and I were talking about how nice it's to actually see your face on Skype and see your studio
with the design wall in the background.
So, my office and my studio are the same room, actually. And so where I sit, I'm in front of a big picture window that overlooks my front yard, and I watch the turkeys and the traffic basically in my front yard. But behind me is my design wall.
So tell our listeners what's on your design wall.
Well, I have to admit, it's been the same for quite some time. For a couple of months now, I've been working on a quilt by Elizabeth Hartman for my niece who just had a baby girl. So it's really exciting. And it's the Forest Friends quilt. So I'm working on that. And I have a couple of small pieces up there too. I always have prayer flags that I'm in the process of making. And a half square triangle quilt that has a lot of Heather Ross fabric in it. And so when I feel like I just need to work on something without thinking too much, I make half square triangles. So I got a lot of half square triangles up there and no design in particular to that I think I'm going to do with them.
It's just for fun.
Yeah.
And I call that cooking. That idea is still cooking.
That's right. True. It's not baking, because if it were baking, you'd be measuring and you'd
right.
have
right.
in
I
place.
Love that.
But when you're cooking, you can do it sort of extemporaneously.
Right.
That's how my design wall goes, is I have lots of things cooking at any one point in time. Right now I have a Christmas quilt that I'm embroidering blocks for, and I've got two-thirds of the blocks actually put together, and then I decided I wanted to make it a little bigger. So that's hanging on part of the design wall, and I have a panel of the Dream Big by Hoffman.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, that's just waiting for me to tackle it.
And I'd love to see what people have made with that panel. It's gorgeous.
Yes, absolutely.
It's definitely one of my favorite panels. And just every time I see someone who's quilted it in a different way or used it as a teaching tool, it gives me goosebumps.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I don't really have a design wall anymore.
That's true, because you're in a small apartment.
Gosh, yeah, I realized over the weekend. So first of all, I actually did sewing this weekend, and my husband told me he gave me my quilting card back, which was really sad. But I realized that every time, now that we're in a tiny apartment, every time I want to sew, I have to take the sewing machine out and set everything up. And, you know, that takes like 20 minutes.
Yes.
And then I'm tired. and then I sew for a little bit. And then it's time to put everything away. And it's just such a pain. But I actually got some sewing done this weekend. So I've got several things cooking. I worked on two different color options. One's going into quick quilts, and one is going into Quilt Maker magazine as an alternative color option for a Wendy Shepherd quilt that's going to be in the November-December issue. And then I actually decided to do the McCall's I Love This Quilt for November-December. And the fabric just arrived. And it just arrived yesterday. And I was so excited when I pulled the fabric out of the box that I ran over to Lori's office and I showed her. And it's all art gallery. And I wanted to go home and sew immediately. And Lori told me I could. But then she was like, oh, actually, I don't think I have
authority. I'm not her boss, not so boss. I can't do that.
So, Tracy, which is more exciting for you, starting a new quilt or finishing a quilt?
Probably finishing a quilt. Just because it happens less frequently. I actually, I say this all the time, I love the binding because that means I'm done.
And by the time start something new.
That's me, Vivica. By the time I get to that end, I'm tired of working on it and I just want it to be over. I want to start something new.
I feel ya.
Oh, well.
You know, I think I have so many projects in the works that it just sort of stresses me out sometimes to decide to take on something else because I get completely overwhelmed. So when we did I Love This Quilt, we get to choose a design from a past issue of McCall's, and I chose something this time that would be really quick and easy. And then I decided to change it up significantly from the basic design that was in there. It was a white background with very scrappy stars. And I decided to use two different fabrics for the background to sort of add some depth to it. And I'm still going to keep the stars scrappy. But it was a big hurdle for me to choose the fabrics because there were so many ways I could have gone. That it's kind of that kid in a candy store thing where I just couldn't focus. Lori made a suggestion for me to go talk to our editorial assistant, Kelly. And Kelly has a wonderful sense of color. And I showed her the design and I told her what I was thinking. And she was able to sort of focus my fabric choices into something that I got really super excited about. So that was really, really helpful. Let's talk about what's trending. So, Vivica, tell us what you're seeing in embellishments and art quilting.
Right. So, embellishments are one of the reasons that Quilting Arts Magazine is in existence, actually. When it was started about 19 years ago, Pokey Bolton had a real fascination with hand embroidery and all of the embellishments that were done on crazy quilts. And that's really how she got pulled into art quilting and what she found fascinating in the beginning. So if, for instance, you take a look at the cover of issue number one, which was way back 19 years ago, you'll see that it's all about crazy quilting and what you could do to gild the lily, let's put it that way, on a quilt. Mm-hmm. And that was really, if you think back to the early 2000s, the late 1990s, think about our clothing that we had on. Everything was bedazzled. There was sparkly stuff. In the 80s, there were shoulder pads. And it was all about how can you make things more noticeable, brighter, more sparkly, or textural in order to invite the eye in, no matter what kind of fiber art you're working on. And I think back to the quilters of that time, and I think back to like Theresa May, whose work was all about, you know, really thick paints and great big buttons and bright and bold embellishments that she used on her quilts. And now in the late, 2019, what we're seeing is a little bit more subtlety in art quilting. So the contemporary art quilts don't have as many things like buttons, beads, things that stick out from the quilt, things that are heavily, heavily embellished. What we're seeing more is stitching and using stitching as an embellishment, whether that stitching is by hand, with thick sashiko threads, or with or by machine with just amazing stitches, whether they're built in or even self-guided stitching. We're seeing much more with stitching being done. And I don't know if I'm the only one that's noticing this, but the other kinds of embellishment I see are layers of fabric, whether it's like an ephemeral layer of gauze being placed really carefully over a portion of a quilt and having it stitched down, or even sometimes additional pieces of lace and things like that added to the pieces. So that's really a lot of what I'm seeing. You know, I think back to some of the stuff that really pulled me into art quilting. I think to like Frances Halliday Alfred's work, when she put just, you know, her quilts must have weighed so many pounds just with all the pieces that put on there. And to what I'm seeing today, which is actually it's more subtle. And that doesn't mean that it's better. It's just different. So what about you? What are you seeing in a contemporary embellishment?
I'm noticing more of the, a little bit of paint added to change the color of certain areas of the fabric. And it's again, really subtle. We've seen the painting thing going on for a long time, but usually it was like this bright hit you in the face kind of thing. And now it's much more gentle.
Interesting. And I think what I've noticed is that I'm seeing a bit more of like Swarovski crystals in traditional quilts. So Carly Porter's quilt that she was one of the top three in her category in Houston in the fall had a lot of crystals, and she tends to use those a bit in her work. But I'm starting to notice them a little bit more in regular quilters using them, as well as I remember Lori coming back from Quilt Market this past round and talking about people using vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. There are a lot of non-traditional elements that can be added to quilts, too. And one thing that I thought was a lot of fun is it was probably about a year ago we had Lori Cisse, Landry, I believe her last name is Landry now, on Quilting Arts TV. And she did some really fun things with nail polish, where she does portrait quilts. Yeah, she's a hairstylist by profession, and she does a lot of portrait quilts with really cool hairstyles and hands on the quilts, so you see their nails and things like that. But she'll use a white nail polish to put that sparkle in an eye on a pupil, and she also uses glitter nail polish just to add some sparkle. Instead of a glitter paint, she'll use the nail polish, and you know, she loves that she can get it at the dollar store and then she'll also get those sort of floral leis, like Hawaiian leis, and take the lei apart and then add all of those flowers in as embellishments. It's actually really quite fun. You could do a lot of things with those non-traditional dollar store type embellishments as well. Really, really fun. In Quilting Arts, we are actually at our 100th issue, and I'm just so excited about this. It's our August issue. Yes, we just sent it to the printer last week. It's sort of like, shoo, we're there. And our cover quilt is actually a highly embellished quilt, but the embellishment is all with thread. And you're going to love this. If you compare the we'll have this on our notes page. Yes, but if you compare the first issue with the 100th issue, you'll see Beth Schillig's quilt on the cover of the 100th issue. And her quilt uses so many beautiful stitches that are on her machine. And what's so interesting is the way that this is imperative to the quilt. It is so important to the quilt because the quilt is all about this gorgeous stitching in a very modern, a very elegant and understated way. And I think that's what's so important about looking at embellishments, because we all know what an embellishment's for. It's to bring your eye in, and it's to express something in the quilt. And if we're just putting things on a quilt for the sake of putting them on a quilt, that is not art. That's fun and crafty and really, really cool. But if you're putting on a quilt with intention and the real purpose, the embellishments should serve the purpose of the piece of art that you're making. And so with this quilt that Beth made, it's just stunning. It is an absolutely stunning piece. And we had such a hard time choosing which portion of the quilt do we do a close-up of for the cover. So it was actually quite challenging, really, really fun. But, you know, the other thing is the stitching by hand, and we are seeing a huge amount of hand stitching, really influenced by Asian boro stitching and sashiko. So that's a fun thing that we're seeing as well.
Amazing. Well, and I think that that's the perfect time to lead into our open studio segment, because we are going to be talking to Karen Charles, who is going to talk a lot about how to use your machine to create amazing stitches on your quilt. All right, so we have as a special guest today, quilter and event specialist and educator for Husqvarna Viking, Karen Charles. Welcome, Karen.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are really excited to talk to you because you happened to send over some of your quilt samples, and they knocked our socks off,
yes,
right, Lori?
Absolutely gorgeous.
So,
well, thank you.
Since the topic today is about embellishing quilts, you have used multiple techniques for creating different illusions and just beautiful projects. Can you tell me a little bit about what might be your favorite embellishment technique?
Oh, that's really hard, because for me, there's just amazing number of different ways that we can embellish our quilts. And so many people I know use straight stitch to stitch their fabric together and never think about using different feet or some of the really wild stitches we have on our machines. And I like it all. There's nothing I don't like. I love using ribbon in both in the bobbin to create a three-dimensional flowers and using elastic thread to create dimension. But a lot of our stitches really do some of that dimensional stitching for us. I have a Husqvarna Viking Designer Epic at home, and I also have a Creative Icon. And each of those machines has got some amazing stitches that really, you know, 20 years ago, we wouldn't have even guessed that some of those things existed. Today, we can do just about anything, and it's a lot of times it's just playing and having fun.
So, Karen, can you tell our listeners what kind of base you use? Are you decorating, embellishing traditional quilts?
Yes, yes. I do everything from, for example, I just finished a feathered star that had an outrageous number of one-inch half-square triangles in it. And it was the outside border was a little bit boring, so I added some applique stitches to it, and it totally changed the way the quilt looked. Up until then, I hadn't been happy with it. So getting, you know, adding those applique stitches was a simple thing to do, but it just really added a lot of dimension to the quilt. Almost everything I do, I end up adding some little extra to it, just because I want people to look at it the first time and then come back to it and be excited about finding new things that they hadn't noticed before.
So I'm looking at one of your quilts right now that is an underwater scene, and you have created some amazing dimension on the surface of the quilt. What looks to me, not only with the quilting and some decorative stitches on your machine, but you also used the amazing ribbon work. Tell me how you did that. And to our listeners, we're going to put pictures of the quilts that we're talking about on the show notes page for the podcast. So just go right over to that show notes page and you'll be able to see the pictures we're talking about.
So the funny thing about that project is it was really a very simple process, and it started in embroidery. And we can bring in all of our decorative stitches into embroidering. So the quilting was created by bringing our decorative stitches into embroidering to quilt the background. Now, it started with one piece of cotton printed fabric that had bubbles and all kinds of crazy colors on it, and I put an overlay on top of it of a sheer netting. So it gives you that kind of translucent look without having really to do a lot of work. And then it was just a little scallop stitch that I brought into embroidery and filled the whole hoop with it. Wow. So most of that was done in embroidery. The fish were different parts and pieces of some different embroideries that I have. And then after it was all done, that took about probably 45 minutes. And then I went into sewing, and the rest of it was done using my decorative stitches in sewing, like the ribbon stitches. Mm-hmm. And we also have some radiant stitches that have a funky little look. It makes it look like seaweed, and that was just done with sewing stitches. So it's kind of doing the combination of layering fabric, the base of the, I call it the deep blue sea, the base of the deep blue sea. Mm-hmm. It is a silk velvet. And so that's what really gives you that extra depth to it. And that was all done at the same time that the background was quilted. I laid the silk velvet on. I can use my foot pedal. So I just put my foot on the pedal and sewed, and it quilted the silk into the design.
Wow. So, Karen, how big is this? How big is this quilt?
This one is, it's not huge. It's something like 12 by 18, 12 by 17. It's just a standard piece. Mm-hmm. I have some others that I've made 11 by 14, but I could make them any size I want to by just doing part of the design and then rehooping and keep going. So by embroidery, in my mind, is one of the best ways to embellish your quilts, because you can add things that you might not consider doing if you were sewing, and you can add them very quickly. So that's how I get things done, is just by doing combination of
45 minutes.
Embroidering.
I can't even imagine. Can I ask a technical question about this?
Yes.
Because this is fascinating to me. I love in the hoop projects. But how exactly, what are the layers in the hoop, and how do you handle the backing? Is that a separate, do you just attach the backing later?
No, it's a lot easier than that. The base that I used was a stabilizer called No Show Mesh, mm-hmm. and it's just a very lightweight stabilizer. Then I laid the cotton quilting fabric on it, and then the mesh on top of it, mm-hmm. and I hooped it all.
Wow.
So they were. That was all that was in the hoop. And then I brought in the stitches, which took maybe 5 minutes to kind of organize everything the way I wanted
to. Yeah, for you.
No, it is. Actually, this is going to be one of the events we're doing next year, that little project. And it's going to be fun. So other people will have a chance to do it.
Oh, now Lori and I are looking at each other like, we want to go to that event.
Yes, we do.
You should come to one of those events. You would love it. And it's actually, it changes the way you look at things. You know, a lot of times we tend to kind of get stuck in our own little corner, and you need to branch out and try new things. And it opens up doors that you never even knew existed.
It's every time I have gone to an event like the ones you're talking about, it just blows my mind how much I learn and how much more I know about using my machine. It's
right.
Just amazing.
Yes. My mother once told me, anytime you get a chance to take a class, take it, because you'll learn something either from the teacher or from the other students. And she was so right, because you do. It's always worthwhile.
That's the way I feel about it. And I take classes all the time, because there's always something new and exciting we can learn, or a different way of doing things that we hadn't thought about.
Exactly. So how long have you been an educator? How long have you worked with Husqvarna Viking?
Well, I've been working with them since 2001. In the beginning, I managed a store, and I became a full-time educator 5.5 years ago. And it's like a dream come true. I live up, you know, a couple of miles from the Canadian border in Vermont, and there is nothing in this area. There's certainly no quilting stores or, you know, for me to be able to travel the country and get to meet so many wonderful people. It's something that is, you know, I don't take it for granted. It's a wonderful way of working. It's nice to do something you love.
Absolutely.
So true. And so you go and you travel around and go to mm-hmm. these events. And what's your favorite part about going to the events?
Oh, meeting people and coming into some of the small towns. Like, when I'm going and I'm traveling, I usually travel for a week, I'll go into areas where I would have never visited. I might fly into a larger town or a city, but then I get to travel in rural United States, and I get to go up to Alaska and Hawaii and every little corner that I would have never gotten to experience if it hadn't been for being an educator for Husqvarna Viking.
That is wonderful. So some of your other projects that you sent over, I am specifically looking at a bowl that looks like it is made of leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how you did that. Are they individual leaves that were embroidered? What are they?
So no, this is all done free motion. So when I started, I love free motion.
I wish everyone could see Lori's face. Her eyes just like popped out of her head. Oh my gosh.
But Lori is so simple. So I know this is the crazy thing, right? And nothing I do is complicated. So it starts with, in Vermont, we have all these beautiful colored leaves in the fall, and it's, you get inspired by that. And so the first one I did, I actually took a regular maple leaf that was in the fall, beautiful colors, and I used the fabric sheets that you can put through your printer, and I just printed a copy of it. And then I put a layer of batting and another color that was close to it on the back, and I free motioned an outline around the edge. And after that, I cut away the extra fabric and then just continued doing free motion to fill up the leaf. And what I love about it is the easiest way to learn how to do free motion. You know, a lot of times people, they struggle getting comfortable doing free motion because they're trying to do feathers and all this stuff. But when you're doing something like these leaves, you're really just going forward and backwards and filling the space. And it is, before you know it, you're absolutely having a fabulous time and you're loving the results. This project is actually posted. It's on the Husqvarna Viking website in the blog. So if anybody's interested in, the instructions are written and they can print them off. But the fun thing was, it can be done as something where a table runner, it doesn't have to be a bowl, you make all the leaves individual and then you decide how you want to put them together. They could be part of a quilt where you, after you've done the three standing leaves, that you can place them on top of a traditional quilt, or you can make them into table runners. And you know, I made it into a bowl, but it could be just about anything that you do with it. And for that matter, instead of a leaf, it could also be a poppy, or it could be a hibiscus or any flower. The trick to it is, by printing off something, and at one point the leaves I got from Google, I just Googled maple leaves and, you know, printed off some from there to get variety. But there's nothing copyrighted about a maple leaf or a flower.
That's right. True. That's true.
But by printing it onto the fabric sheets, then you know where the color is when you're doing your free motion. So you don't have to figure out, okay, where am I going to put this color? You're just following the colors that are already printed on the fabric.
What a wonderful idea.
Well, and I'm sitting here. I actually wrote myself a note, Karen, so I'd remember to go to the HB blog site to find this, and we'll put that in our show notes for our listeners too.
Right, we'll put a link to it,
because this thing is just gorgeous. Absolutely.
And you know, I think something like that is, I like that you said it's a way for people who are learning to do free motion to be, it's a little less intimidating,
right?
And if you're printing off a picture of a leaf, there's nothing to mess up.
That's right. And you really can't do anything wrong. And I am also a big proponent of not worrying about stitch length, because a lot of times when you're doing free motion on a thread painting type of project, the different lengths, if you go shorter and longer, add a lot of texture to what you're doing. And a lot of times you're getting better results by not worrying about the stitch length being the same.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I need to go home, Lori.
I know. I do, too. But I think we better stay here and do what we're supposed
Dang
to.
Dang it. Okay. All right. That's fine. But luckily, this conversation is really fascinating.
Good.
All right. So you also sent over a photo of some what looked like notebook covers.
Yeah.
Tell me how you did those, because those look so incredibly elaborate.
So this is an embossing technique that's done on marine vinyl, you know, the stuff they make boat seat covers from. And it is started in embroidery. and the design is embroidered. So I used a layer of batting and the marine vinyl on top of it, and tear away or something in the hoop. And then the stitching was all done in embroidery. So that part, it was pretty simple. I can't take any credit for that. But after but after the embroidery was finished, I unhooped it, and I got a little bottle of metallic craft paint, the stuff you get at a craft store, mm-hmm. is like $2, and I wiped it on, and then before it dried, I wiped it off, and it ended up kind of getting into all the cracks. The original thread colors changed because I used a rayon thread, so it absorbed the paint color, and as I wiped it off, the areas where there was no stitching end up a little bit lighter, and it looks like it's, you know, something fancy and very complicated, but it really is not. And coincidentally, the instructions for that project and that embroidery design are also on the Husqvarna Viking website.
I'll be going there.
So what in the world possessed you to think about embroidering on marine vinyl? And where in the world do you get marine vinyl?
Oh, actually very, very easy to come by. Most, if you look at the stores that are outside, you know, Joann's and Hobby mm-hmm. Lobby, oh, that kind of stuff is very readily available right now. You can actually get it in quilt stores too, that they have a lot more wider variety now. You'd be surprised sometimes when you're going into a quilt store that you're going to find things you never thought. Cork is incredibly popular right now, and cork would be another project that you could use this technique on, and a lot of quilt stores are carrying cork now also.
Mm-hmm. I've embroidered on cork, and it's, yeah, it's fun, and it works really well.
Yeah, and I've done it with paper and embossed the paper and then put different layers of things on top of it. But the actual process of the finishing the project is really a standard book cover. You've got two folded edges for the sleeves, and then you put the lining on top and sew around, leave your opening on the edge and flip it right side out, and it's done. So again, this is a quick project. You probably wouldn't take any longer than an hour to do.
Wow, Karen, I think that we're probably, Tracy and I and everybody listening, are just really excited about doing some of your projects.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, that's great, and I hope to see you at one of my events sometime
soon. You can bet that I'm going to be watching.
I'm out in Colorado often, so.
All right.
Okay.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Karen.
Thank you for inviting me. It was wonderful. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Well, for our fine finishes segment today, we're going to talk about embellishment, but in a little different light. I frequently use embellishment to cover up oopses. You know, this part of the quilt or this part mm-hmm. of the project isn't quite up to my standards. So rather than throw it in a corner and say, well, never mind that, I've almost always can figure out a way to cover it up, hide it, draw your attention to someplace else on the quilt. One of my favorites was a large quilt. I'm going to guess it's like 60 inches or so square. And it's a Hawaiian style quilt. So I've got this great big snowflake thing in the middle that I cut out of a full width of fabric. And as I was nearing the end, my fabric got doubled over and I cut into the center of my design. And it's a gash 2 inches long or something like that. And like I said, it's a full width of fabric. So I don't want to have to go get another full width of fabric and start all over. So I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world can I make this better? The quilt is a project for a runway show where it's going to be under spotlights. So I thought, you know what? Let's do some Swarovski crystals.
Mm.
And there is one segment on the quilt where it has probably 8 or 10 Swarovski crystals bumping right up against each other to cover up the slash in the quilt. I'll put a picture of it on our show notes page.
Why?
Do you have a before and after?
No,
I'd love to see the slash. Actually, I'd love to see the look on your face when you made the slash.
Oh, you probably wouldn't have wanted to see the look on my face. I was so upset with myself.
I can imagine.
Why is it that it's always the mistake always happens towards the end?
Well, and it couldn't be on just a little quilt that was for the fun of it. It was for something I had to do for work. It was for a fashion show for convention. I had to have this done. It had a deadline. Oh, my goodness.
I'm also thinking about a quilt that you had hanging up in your office one day that had embroidery on it, hand embroidery, and you pointed out a little inchworm or caterpillar.
Yes. Yes.
On it.
Okay, so this one's another fun story. I'm making this quilt. I'm teaching my daughter-in-law to sew at the same time to quilt. And she was doing fusible applique, didn't realize she'd gotten a little bit of the fusible stuff on the bottom of my iron. So then when I pressed my quilt, I got this brown streak where the melted fusible got on my fabric.
And it was white.
And the fabric was white. So it didn't come out when I tried to treat it. So I just drew a little caterpillar and embroidered a caterpillar over the top of it. I'll put a picture of that one on the show notes page, too.
Well, I've done a few things. I was making a pollinatal stern type quilt one time. And you know how everything is supposed to be exactly the same and match up and everything. Yeah, but I put a wrong piece of fabric noticeably in the wrong portion of a kaleidoscope. So one thing that I learned with that is that Sharpies are great mistake coverers. Because I followed the same design and I drew the design onto that piece. And I swear, unless you knew, you really wouldn't know. So that was a fun way. And that's really not embellishment, but that is one way. And then I was making another quilt one time, and it was an Asian-inspired quilt. And it had all sorts of different pieces going through the whole thing. And none of my intersections lined up properly. And so instead of taking the pieces out and making the corners match and everything, I painted cheesecloth with acrylic paint, purple acrylic paint, dark purple acrylic, not just a light purple. I cut it into about 1.5-inch squares and let it dry. And so it sort of dried into these sort of crinkly little pieces. And then I sewed it over the quilt, sort of like cherry leaves that were falling. In my mind, this was cherry leaves or cherry petals. And I put little beads on the center of it, and I just called it sakura, because that's the Japanese name for cherry blossoms. And it sort of looked like cherry blossoms. So I'm just calling it that and saying, you know, you can't tell that my corners didn't match.
You know, one of the things you said, Vivica, is something that I always tell people. When you make a mistake, don't point it out. Mm-hmm. If you don't point out your mistake, chances are they won't know it was a mistake. They'll think it was your plan all along.
But
that's right.
I think it's a great theory. But every single quilter I know, including myself, shows a quilt to someone and then goes, oh, right here, I stitched this in upside down.
Yeah, don't do that.
I've done that so many times.
You know, it's human nature.
Yeah. It is. It is.
It is. Yes. I think we also just are sort of self-deprecating. I've done a couple of things wrong. There was a quilt that I can think of where I was on a deadline. It was a quilt for market, and it was all done in the hoop, and I was working on multiple projects at once, and I must have mixed up the background fabric at one point. And while both quilts were white, one was white and one was snow, and I didn't notice until I finished the entire quilt, got it bound, brought it to, I think we were in St. Louis, and under the lights at the show went,
yeah.
And there wasn't anything I could do about it at that point. And
exactly.
And it's funny because once I got the quilt back home, and I only just recently got the quilt back home, it was on the road for 2 years. I barely even notice it in the regular light of my house.
Right.
So I try not to stress about it anymore. I also have a tendency to... I'm pretty good at applique and hiding stitches. I took a class many years ago on antique quilt restoration, and I learned some of those little tiny stitches. And so oftentimes if something like a slash happens, I will stitch it back together by hand and try and hide it as best I can, or possibly applique over it with the same fabric if I can and match it up. So that's what I do.
So fixes for me are crystals, buttons, lace, applique.
And bark.
We talked about
that in another episode.
So almost always there's a fix. You know, don't get discouraged and throw your project away. Fix it somehow. I love decorative stitches on my sewing machine. You can use those as a cover-up for those places where maybe your points don't match quite right.
That's true.
Or you can just let it go.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
The world is not going to come to an end because our points don't match.
Indeed. Finished is better than perfect.
That's right.
All right. Well, this has been really great and informative, I think. So before we go, I have one last thing. We had a pretty exciting thing happen last week. And Vivica, I'm not even sure if you were in the email chain. And if so, I apologize. But, or if not, I apologize. But we got an email from a reader who was listening to the podcast, and the one in which we were talking about gifts that we wish we could get back. And she wrote in and gave us permission to read her letter and share the pictures of the quilts on our website. So her name is Natalie Campbell, and here's what she said. Hello, I've just started listening to your podcast and have enjoyed listening to the stories. I have a cute story about a couple of gifted quilts. First was going to be a baby or a really small lap-sized baby blanket for my new nephew. But my brother mentioned that he liked the more whimsical nursery prints, so I changed gears quickly. The quilt was instead gifted to a cousin who had recently gone through a divorce. I gave it to him as a snagging blanket, which is the Native American arm around the girl trick, that he could use, quote, as he started to put himself back out into the dating world. He loves it, and when his kids got something on it, peanut butter, I think, he went to his mom, who is another quilter, and asked her to get help getting the quilt clean again. The next quilt that I was amazed with, the pattern, it was Getting to Know Hugh, which was a block of the month. I had made all of the blocks and was ready to put it together. I was getting the top all sewn together at my parents' house, and my grandma was there as well. Her memory is failing her, and she kept commenting on how pretty it was. I was able to get the quilt to a quilter who finished it up in a couple of weeks, and this was in the beginning of December, mind you, so I can imagine how hard that was. And she said, I was able to finish it and get it to my grandma before she returned home. To this day, she still has it on her bed and loves to show it off. Wasn't that great?
Isn't that wonderful?
So she,
what a sweet story.
It's so sweet. So she actually shared a picture of her grandma sitting on the bed with the quilt on the bed. And clearly she has it. And then she also sent some pictures with the quilt laying out as she was making it. And then she showed the picture of the quilt that she was making for the baby, which looks like it had some fussy cut animals in the center of some hexagon blocks that were pieced with strips. So we will share all of those on the show notes page. So if you go to quiltingcompany.com/podcast, you'll see our links to our show notes and all of the pictures of the quilts that we've talked about today, as well as the links that Karen mentioned, and anything else we've discussed will be listed there. And if you're a listener and would like to write in and give us permission to read it on air, we would love it. It makes our day. So thank you so much to both of you for joining me in the studio.
Fun to be here.
Our pleasure.
And to all of our listeners, please like and subscribe and share our podcast with your quilting friends, and we'd love you for it. Thank you so much.
The Quilting Company podcast is a production of F&W Media Studios. Our consulting producer is Ron Doyle, and our executive producer of podcasts is Jared Mayer.